And the time is 31 minutes after 8 o'clock. It's the third Wednesday of the month. And at this time, usually we're talking to someone from the Peace Health Ketchikan Medical Center, or what some of the rest of us just refer to as the hospital. And joining us today, we have Deb Olone, who is a nurse practitioner with Peace Health. And sounds like you are starting a new program with Jamie Easterly, who may be joining us here in a bit, called the Palliative Care Program. Deb, what is the Palliative Care Program?
Well, it is a new program that we're starting up at the hospital. What we're finding out is that we have been providing lots of medical care over the years. A lot of treatment has been going on. We've gotten very technologically oriented. And in just so doing, I think we've sort of forgotten those other aspects of life that people, our patients, might be going through. Some of those things could be just depression, illness, side effects from the treatment that they're going through. So what we're trying to do is to be sensitive to those areas as well and provide a team that can support that care as they go through a life-limiting illness.
So, and what do you mean by a life-limiting, what illness is that?
There can be many. Everybody thinks, first of all, of cancer, but it's not the only one that can be life-limiting.
But what I'm not understanding, I mean, it seems like all illness is creating limitations in life, but are you talking about an illness that is shortening the life?
Yes.
Specifically.
We all are born and we're all going to die. We start dying from the day we're born.
Right.
But there are some illnesses that some of us can get that we become aware of, and so that we'll need special treatment along the way. And in so doing, it can really cause some limitations in the way that we can live, such as, let's say, one other disease might be heart failure or lung disease. You know, when you start feeling short of breath all the time and inability to carry on your normal lifestyle.
Right. Okay.
That can be a concern.
So what I understand, if I'm hearing you, is, of course, whenever someone comes in and starts being treated by Peace Health, there's a whole person there with a whole a slew of things that they come in, and you're starting to work not to just isolate on the illness as if the rest of the person is not there.
That is correct.
So what kinds of things do you end up doing? I mean, just using a case, say depression, for instance, does that mean you as a team are actually working with the medical team as well? What happens?
Well, depression is a symptom of probably the disease itself. You know, just the inability to do things as you normally do, or recognizing that you do have a life-limiting illness. I think what we're looking at is with this disease, we understand that depression may come along with pain, nausea, just not feeling very up to beat, fatigued, tired all the time. So what we want to do is to offer other sorts of support care, like, you know, we do the medical care, lots of treatment in that. But we also have social workers. We have chaplains to also look at some of our social and spiritual aspects of care.
So with any of these cases, then there must be someone from your team that sits down and does an evaluation and then figures out what's going to be best for that person.
That's correct. It's usually going to be a doctor is going to recognize that this patient has been diagnosed with a life-limiting illness. Once that's established, we're hoping that they will refer that patient to our team so that we can become involved with that patient and their families and to help them through this disease and the rest of their life.
Now, this sounds so obvious that you would be doing this. Maybe just generally, it sounds like as a new thing, it's something that hospitals are maybe starting to do everywhere. Of course, it sounds oftentimes that Peace Health takes a lead in the Northwest about some of these things. Why is this only starting now?
I'm really not sure. I guess when we first started to take care of patients, it wasn't necessarily hospitals. It was the monks and the monasteries and whatnot. That's where they got that social support, that spiritual guidance, et cetera. But over time, now that the hospitals have come to be, and over the last century, the medical technology has just taken off. We can treat so much more than we ever could before. And I think that that, unfortunately, has just become the focus. We've done wonderful things, but it has been the focus. So what we don't do is we don't, or maybe we haven't understood ourselves, what all of this means to a patient in their life, this treatment that they might be going through, what it might cause.
So one of the implications that I hear you saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that medical technology has gotten so advanced that with people that have a life-limiting illness, there is a whole extended period now that is not purely a crisis. They're still living, and they're still figuring out how to live, and you're trying to figure out how to help them do that.
Exactly. It's sort of a guidance through all of that, and to offer some support and information about their disease, how it can be treated, what choices they might have in doing so.
And that's one of the distinctions I wanted to make. Peace Health for a long time has had this this long run of extraordinary chaplains or usually sisters that are there as kind of guidance to go in and see everybody and talk to them. But this is kind of probably using them still as well, but kind of upping the level or focus.
They are much involved in this, and it was it's through the sisters that really kind of forged this ahead to demand that we do these sorts of things for our patients.
Now, if is this one thing people listening, imagining all of us end up at some time or another being involved in some way with what goes on down at the hospital, for better and for worse. Is this something that, family members or members request, or is this just automatically happening for everybody if
they
are
in a life-limiting? We would hope that it would automatically happen, but we would encourage people to ask as well. Sometimes when things are new, you know, people aren't sure as to how to get it. So rather than wait, we would encourage you to ask for it.
Now, of course, there is the extended care that you have there at the hospital. Is that a completely different category altogether, or this is
We would be covering,
integrated with that as well?
Yes, we would be doing the long-term care as well.
Now, does this extend outside of the realm of the hospital? There's a lot of people that are in your care. Of course, it feels in some ways that it's like a almost like in the hospital hospice at times. Rather, so you have this already as a program at hospice, and this is in the hospital in some ways. Is that a good?
Well,
it's different.
Little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about that.
We are starting this program in the hospital. And our plan is to then bring it out to an outpatient setting or a clinic outside of the hospital. The reason that probably we're doing it here in the hospital first is that probably 50% of people die in a hospital. So if we can start to identify people that are in crisis at that point, that will help us better attach to them and go through whatever they're needing to be, whether in the hospital or out in their homes. Hospice, on the other hand, is where we get involved right at the end of life. Palliative care starts from the time of disease all the way through till the end of life. Hospice kind of gets in there when you're towards the end of life or sort of in that labor period of death. But we certainly are inclusive of all patients, whether they be in the hospital, long-term care, and then on the outpatient basis.
And just to circle it back around, just to make sure we understand life-limiting illnesses, say I'm a fisherman, lived my whole life fishing, and that's where my life is. and I end up getting an injury that makes that impossible for the rest and for the rest of my life. So there's a huge adjustment. Maybe it's a loss of a limb or something like that. Does that qualify in what you're talking about? I mean, just that those adjustments, or is that a little bit different?
I don't think that's too much different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're probably going to be facing some of the limitations of use of your limbs and how you do that. But there are, like, physical therapists and things of that nature that we can bring in. There's also probably the fact that you will have some depression related to this, and this will change your lifestyle. Absolutely. So it's probably just actually, this is probably may not limit your life in the way that death is going to come from it, but it certainly is adjustment in your lifestyle.
So there's a whole spectrum of things, and of course some are more more of an emergency than others.
Right.
And I think the last question I have is now, is this something that you, is there training that ends up happening for the practitioners, your medical team as well, to get them engaged in this program and committed to it as well? Is that part of what you're doing?
I think it's really like just the overall team in that social workers, chaplains, ethicists, they all are doing something, nurses. We all know what we're doing, whether it's for the physical, social, emotional part of everybody's life. And that's what we're coming together, doing what we normally do. Yes, there's special training for this, and it can take, like for, say, a nurse, like up to 500 hours to get a special certificate for this sort of thing. So if that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
We've been talking to Deb Olone, nurse practitioner with Peace Health Ketchikan Medical Center, about the palliative care program that is underway now at Peace Health. Thank you so much for dropping by, and good luck with this new program, Deb.
Thank you very much.